Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the daily rant and radio show. We talk about all of the good, bad, and the ugly of current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley. You, our listeners, are invited to call in and stand on our soapbox with us. Call 347-989-0126 between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. That's 347-989-0126. Now, here are your host and creator, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox. It is Tuesday, August 6, 2019. I'm Scott Fullerton, your host, and in just a couple of moments, actor and writer Craig Hurley will be joining me as my co-host. Please give us a call today, 347-989-0126. That's 347-989-0126. You can join the conversation as we talk about the day's news, politics, and pop culture stories that hit our hot button. So let's go ahead and climb up onto my soapbox and start talking. Craig, how are we doing today, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Once again, going to have a really hard time swearing. So, or not swearing. And not that I ever have a really hard time swearing. There's it could be every other word for all I care. I'm going to have a really hard time not swearing today on today's show, especially with Moscow Mitch and his crew. I don't even know what to call them. They're just disgusting.
Yeah, you can see all that. I have faith in you. Are you talking about Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez cut out with his team Mitch or team McConnell, whatever it is. And they're all these kids, those kids that are surrounding her cardboard cutout and doing sexually explicit things to it. Choking her, putting a finger in an inappropriate place. Groping is basically what they're doing. Number one, they all need questions. I need the police department to go out and protect and serve in this instance. They all need questions.
Right.
And their parents need questioned as well. This behavior.
Right.
And all these guys are directly reflecting the mirror that is white kids walking in and mass shooting people. So let's just really start there. This is why I'm going to have a hard time swearing today, or not swearing.
Well, the interesting thing too is this is another bunch of high school kids from a Catholic high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, Handmaid's Tale. I keep telling you to watch Handmaid's Tale.
Very similar to the high school that surrounded the Indian in Washington, D.C., with their MAGA hats and everything going on, where that kid, the kid that was in the video shown staring at the Indian, had tried to sue for like $150 million,
and he
that
lost.
Case was thrown out
about
2 weeks ago. But this does show a pattern of behavior. That's now it's a second Catholic school. And you're wondering, is it from the privilege of the Catholic schools, because Catholic schools is mostly white people? Is it because are they teaching something?
I think it's
just the parents' philosophy?
Yeah.
It just makes you wonder.
And the regime, and the current regime that is, you know, that we're attempting to call a presidency.
Right.
I can't even call it a presidency anymore. There's so much chaos happening.
Well, exactly. I mean, you look at it, there's a lot of chaos going on. I mean, I'll say that the economy is better, even though it's been going that way for over 10 years.
Yeah.
The economy is better than when he started it. The unemployment is at record lows. You know, that had slowly been coming down over the last 8 years before that. But it was a dramatic increase after all these Republican business owners got all excited for Republican president and started actually spending money where they could have spent the entire time. So it's like, but if you look at everything else, the country is not that much better off. Wages for the middle class have not gone up. They have for the upper class. The farmers are in trouble with the trade war, and a lot of companies are in trouble with this trade war. The stock market has been good, but then bad, and then good again.
He lied and said that he's going to give some money to the farmers. He's in to like 2 days ago.
He has. He's given money to the farmers.
They're not giving any money to the farmers. Yeah, but
he's given money to
the
farmers twice. But it's like all that is they talk about socialized. They want to talk about socialism. Isn't that a little bit of socialism when you're giving money to the farmers because you've screwed up the trade?
That is socialism. That's straight up socialism when you're giving monies from the government to civilians. Absolutely.
And isn't that their big talking point this election, that the Democrats are being run by socialist people, but they're yet the Republican government is giving away subsidies to farmers. Socialized subsidies to farmers. So it's just, there's so many.
Couldn't be that flooding and that drought situation and the fires and all of that. It couldn't be any of that. It's just strictly the trade war. Dude,
well, no,
I
mean,
they started their growing season in like July. Like our farmers can't grow anything. And it has nothing to do with any, trade wars. It all has to do with
lots of
our environment.
Factors. No, there is. I mean, the trade wars
they
have a lot
they
to
can't
do
grow anything.
No one's buying their soybeans. There's a lot lower crop than there's ever been, but it's still a contributing factor to it. There's just a myriad of factors. The trade wars just as much to do with it as the weather, but the weather has just as much to do with it as the trade wars. It's equally consuming. Because they are growing much less.
Their planting season normally is like April, like right after the last frost, and when they assume that there's not going to be any more, according to past farmers' almanacs, things that we trusted. But this year it was like June 19th or something. I mean, way late. It could have even been July. No, it was June. It was June, and so as far as
it was
crops,
probably June because May 22nd when I took my road trip, and I was dodging all
it
the
was
rain
snowing.
Then. I mean, it was raining all of May, and snow and everything. So it was May, so they couldn't
really.
It
was
really
snowing when you were taking
out
your trip.
Early June. Well, in Denver,
up in like the
nowhere
Dakotas,
else, it was just raining like crazy. Just in Denver, it was raining everywhere else like crazy.
No, in the Dakotas and Minnesota too. They couldn't plant because of stuff like that. So anyway, sorry, didn't mean to digress.
No, that's okay. That was, that's a big point of what's going on. So
that's
a big
behavior. And I think these people think that we're not aware of it. We're absolutely aware of it. And that's why we're talking about it. And we're actually asking police departments to do something about it. So, a bully has always been bullied, and they're bullied by somebody else. So when you attack a bully or you shut down a bully, then you have to go to its source. You have to go to the source of why it's a bully in the first place. And also prosecute that source as well for bullying behavior.
Well, the trouble is, I mean, we're on such a they hope we'll forget, and we really do, because we're on such a short news cycle now. I mean, we are concerned
now we're not forgetting
about
any of this.
These parents of the young child killed in Walmart. We have these two young parents that are but we forget that in Gilroy less than 10 days earlier, we had a 6-year-old girl, a 13-year-old boy, and a 20-year-old boy killed, because the news cycle's over.
I haven't forgotten any of that.
So
there's been 253 mass shootings in 220 days in the United States. We are the number one country in the world for mass shootings.
And one of the things I was reading the other day too, I mean, we're putting away all these stereotypes. Like I said, we talked yesterday about mental illness being a big cause of
it. Yeah.
And it is, but mental illness is really not the biggest cause of these mass murders. And in fact, if you look at it, there's actually I was reading a study today. Mental illness diagnosis is not an evidence-based risk factor for violence towards other people. 50% of Americans meet criteria for a mental illness at some point in their lifetime, but most will not go on to commit crimes. Only 3% of violent crimes are actually committed by those convicted as mentally ill. So, I mean, it's considered
they're not a person that walks into Walmart and lights up a whole bunch of innocent, unarmed people is not considered a nutbag. Dude, that's a nutbag.
No,
that guy's gone.
I mean,
it's not.
I mean, it is a.
It's just that it hadn't been seen and not convicted. There's no convicted of mental illness.
Right.
You're diagnosed, you know, yes, pretty much everybody has something. I would say, dude, 100% of people on the planet have something going on that is different than other people, and it is a mental disorder of some kind. And then there are others, you know, around that person or in this world that suffer from the very same thing. So you just got to diagnose which mental disorder. And if you've got a mental disorder that that makes you inclined to possibly going out and being violent against the human race for whatever reason, then you need to be checked on that and made sure that you don't go out and do that. Because there's, you know, everybody's got something going on. Everybody. And
that's exactly what the thing says. It says that 50% of Americans, 50% of Americans meet criteria for mental illness at some point in their lifetime.
At one time or another in their life because of events that have happened. Yeah.
Right.
And I would not doubt it. They just haven't found this, that the other 50% were born with shit. Oh, man, I just swore. I am trying so hard.
So close.
I am so,
so
sorry.
That's right.
They were
that was
born
a slip.
With
we'll
this.
Let it go. It was a slip.
I'm so sorry. They were born with this, so or something. And it needed to be diagnosed then as well. So that, you know, we can do some preventative medicine, and make sure to stop things like this from happening. Because these guys that are going out and committing mass murder are complete nut jobs.
Well, they're not, though. That's the trouble is.
They are doing something.
No, they're doing something that is definitely not in the right head to do it.
And it's being instigated. It's being instigated by our government.
Well,
being
it's being instigated by a lot of external factors. Exactly right. I mean,
there's
this
a,
Walmart
there's a,
guy.
No,
was
there's
being
a lot of rhetoric. There's a lot of rhetoric. There's a lot of words said, and words hold. And you and I are just talking right now. Words hold meaning. They hold.
Right.
If people are listening right now, and it may not be very many of them, but they're listening. Come on, that was
well,
really
that's
funny,
it. That's
actually.
What this El Paso is all about. I mean, this guy was conditioned through words to think that immigrants and Mexicans were evil.
Mm-hmm.
So he was conditioned by words to that, and then he decided to do something that only a mentally ill person would do.
Is a nutbag thing
mentally
to do.
Ill this entire time.
Yeah,
and
that's a crazy person act right there.
Yeah, you could consider that a trait, but that doesn't mean he's a crazy person. He did an act that was done by someone that is not in their right mind, but that does not mean he was the entire time mentally ill. It means he was conditioned in certain things to do
they
that.
Got
like
pictures
trying to...
and they got pictures of all of these guys that have committed mass murder over the past, just even in the past year. They got pictures of every single one of them. Prior to, they're always on these different white supremacist websites. They're always, I mean, it's like there's red flags all over these guys, all
right.
over them.
Right.
and yet nothing is done. Even when they shoot a bunch of people, nothing is done. Nothing.
Well, that's why they're trying to pass these quote unquote.
There's a picture right now of side by side of and it's flying around Twitter of the Galveston Police Department arresting a mentally ill black man, and he's got a rope attached to him, which they were on horseback, the policemen. So I don't know how else you're going to detain anyone, but besides a rope, but it just seems really bad form. You know, especially in the light of everything that's occurring in the United States,
right,
to attach a rope to a mentally ill black man and walk him behind a horse. So it's just bad form, bad image, because we've had those images in history in the past. And yet when they arrested one of these guys for mass murder, all they're letting him stand in the middle of a parking lot. He's not thrown down on the ground or anything, or not beat up, not anything. They're just arresting him, putting handcuffs on him, and putting him in the back of a police car. And it's like, what? No, there's something wrong here. There's just something wrong there. You don't treat that person that way anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, just
they should be shot on
the the video optics are just so bad. I mean, I don't understand where these people.
Well, no, it's good. It's good because we have you know, Twitter, and we have all this social media that lets us see these things immediately. So it's good that we actually can see these images. The images are horrifying. Horrifying.
And the guy was arrested for a criminal trespass. I guess he's done it quite a few times. But and supposedly they did not have a quote unquote
mentally
transport
ill.
Vehicle available, so they walked him 2 miles, handcuffed with a rope tied to the handcuffs. It wasn't tied to the guy.
Sorry.
Was tied to
I'm
the
laughing
handcuffs.
Because it is just disgraceful, dude. It is
it
just
is.
So disgraceful. Oh,
embarrassing.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're supposed to represent us. All of these people, including the president. We the people pay him. We pay him. They are all elected officials. They have jobs. And if they're not doing their jobs, they need to be fired. Just fire all of them.
Exactly.
We can. We the people. We decide that. We're paying them. Just fire all of them. Anybody who's not there for the people needs to be gone. And I'm not talking for a minority. Or for any one race. I'm talking about for overall. If you're not here for the people of the United States and you're not representing them, please step aside. We just need to fire you.
Yep, and that's what each election is all about, firing the people that are not doing their job and hiring in new people that you hope will do it better.
Yep.
And you just need to be paying attention to that, because that's actually what you're doing. Elections are about hiring and firing.
Elections are about hiring individuals that
represent you.
To represent you. I don't know why people don't get that. You know, it's like
it's
we
pretty
pick them.
Simple.
So we actually are the CEOs of our government.
Right.
It's not the reverse. We actually are. So we need to be making those decisions.
It's going to be very interesting to see the reception the president gets tomorrow going to both El Paso and to Dayton.
Wow.
He's taken First Lady with him, which is going to help him a lot. I think that was a smart move, that he might not get as lambasted with her by his side. But it's going to be interesting to see the kind of reception.
This is the same woman that walked into the same undocumented immigrant who married a billionaire and then got into this country. But yeah, a lot of people do that, right? So, okay. But she was undocumented and working in the United States before she walked into a detention center in Texas, correct? And wearing a coat that said, "I don't care to you." I'm just really, she's not going to help him any. Not with the people that actually see what she is.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see the reception, and I hope it is he hears the displeasure of the people there. And the really interesting thing, we've talked about it on the show before.
It's a mistake to go days later, especially after you and I just talked about it. It's like, if you're going to represent, you represent the day of.
Right.
You get down there, you get down to the site, you start condemning, you start doing the things that you need to do in order to represent the people of the United States, not just your own interests.
Right. And then what's going to be really interesting in El Paso, to me at least, is we talked about this a couple times now, but the Trump campaign is now infamous, I would say famous for it, but they're now infamous for not paying the communities for police protection during these huge rallies that he does. And yeah, he gets jillions of people to come see him at his rallies. His first rally
in
2019 was in El Paso.
Dude, he only gets like 10,000 people per rally. He doesn't get a lot of people. That's not a lot of people, dude.
It's a lot of people compared to politicians. I mean,
I got a number of bands that can. It's good for a dictator, but it's not. I got a number of bands, dude, that can sell out, you know, huge arenas and you know, stuff like
right.
Bowl,
well, I'm talking
you know,
politicians. The scale of politicians, the guy has huge followings come to these things. But that's not the point. The point is
white supremacist
that his last visit to El Paso, which was his first rally of 2019, he has still not paid his $561,000 bill to the police department of El Paso.
They expect him to pay anything? Dude, he's not well known for not paying his bills.
Right, and he owes the city of El Paso $561,000, and he's going to go there tomorrow and expect the same police protection and probably not pay the bill again.
Beto O'Rourke
this
asked
one
him
might
not
be a little different. The other one was a campaign rally, so that might be different. The U.S. government will probably front this one, so I guess this will be paid no matter what. But just the embarrassment of it, of going back to a town and asking the same police that you stiffed on of $500,000 worth of their
like
city
what?
Coffers to do the exact same work again.
Like six
I mean,
months
I don't know
ago?
How you can look at people like that, let alone the optics of what's going on with the police shootings and everything going on. I just think that he has no shame whatsoever. We have a president with absolutely no shame, and how he can even set foot back in there when he's not being welcomed by the people because of his anti-immigration, and he's not going to be welcomed by the police, I would hope, because he hasn't paid his bill to the police. But I just do not understand this. It's just crazy to me. I don't understand where it's coming from.
Beto O'Rourke asked him not to come.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have asked him not to come. We'll see what happens. Like he's coming no matter what. But this, like I said, how the people respond is going to be interesting. If he was able to get 10,000 people there in January, maybe he'll get a bunch of them to show up and support him. We'll see what happens. But I think the community in general is not going to be overly happy.
Yeah, no, I think he's probably going to not be able to, like, talk. I think that people are kind of fed up. So I'm pretty sure if he's going to El Paso, dude, there's a lot of people there. There's a lot of people there, man. He may have millions of people showing up, but they're not supporting him. And it's not going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see exactly what happens because I don't understand it. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I'm going to be shocked if there's not at least some pretty large protests going on. All right, moving on.
I don't know enough about cocaine or crystal meth I'm wondering if it gets rid of the shame factor. Or if it gets rid of the non-compassionate factor, I don't know if those two drugs do anything, because you know you still sniff one an awful lot, so I'm not sure. And you know Mitch McConnell seemed to have bounced back pretty quick, So, I'm pretty sure that these guys are on some type of stimulant. They are highly paid government officials. So I'm just wondering if it gets rid of, and especially because we're talking about, legalization, and you just now were like, yeah, I can see decriminalizing that. But I'm questioning it. Does that stimulant actually cause like some type of you no longer have compassion for people, or you no longer can see clearly actually the events that are happening and the things that you are saying and the actions that you're doing are perpetuating this behavior? I don't know. If there's a doctor out there, I'd love to know. 347-989-0126. I would love to know what cocaine and crystal meth do to an individual's brain.
Another interesting thing that's going to be going on in Texas as well, because now we're renewing this talk about gun violence and what to do with guns. In 4 weeks, there's going to be 10 new pro-gun laws that's going to take effect in Texas, where El Paso is at.
Pro-gun.
After the 22 people died, they have 10 new pro-gun laws that the governor, Greg Abbott, signed the measure
right
after they were passed by the 2019 Republican legislative session. They were all measures that the National Rifle Association called a highly successful maneuver at the time, celebrating the measures that will further loosen Texas's permissive gun laws. So they're already permissive gun laws, and they're going to further loosen them. And it would send the gun control crowd home empty-handed. Texas right now is home to almost 1.4 million holders of active firearm licenses for concealed carries.
That's just the ones that are legal.
Right, exactly.
You're just saying the ones that are legal that are documented.
That are licensed, correct. Yeah. That are licensed.
There's at least double that aren't. So go ahead.
And Texas Texas is home of 5 of the 20th mass shootings since 1900 have occurred in Texas.
Wow.
So a quarter of all mass shootings that happen in the United States took place in Texas since 1900, and they are now going to relax 10 more gun laws in 4 weeks after the shooting there. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I think it's going to be very, very, very interesting. Texas has some issues, man, between parading black men between two horses on a rope and their gun laws and what's going on. It's going to be a very interesting time for Texas.
Texas has had issues ever since they stole that land from Mexico. They've had some issues, all right. How are you when you steal land from another civilization? And they stole from the Native American Indians too, in order to build Texas. So when you steal all that land, there are repercussions. There are repercussions, and I'm talking about civilization repercussions, and we're right now dealing with that. Those repercussions.
Yep, very true. All right, guys, we are halfway through. We are going to take a break apropos with the song We Gotta Go by Jay Knight. We'll be back in a little over 3 minutes. Give us a call.
Yeah, we need to
half,
just fire
347-989-0126. We look forward to having you call in the second half. We Gotta Go, Jay Knight.
You can't deny all these things inside, and you feel like you're
Guys, we are back. You have about 25 minutes left to give us a call today, 347-989-0126. Let us know what's on your mind. We've been talking about El Paso and the president and government for a while. Let us know what's on your mind today. We got lots more to talk about. I guess we can do a little pop culture if you want.
About the weather off air. We're talking about the grasshoppers
right, exactly.
Off air. We might as well just stick with that conversation, even though nobody was a part of it. Yeah, we had a bunch of grasshoppers here in Vegas, like a swarm of grasshoppers that when it showed up on radar, when it showed up on weather radar, it looked like a massive thunderstorm over over Las Vegas. And the same thing happened, not with grasshoppers, but with mayflies in Iowa about a month ago. And then we also had a swarm of mosquitoes down in Louisiana. And all of these things are climate change because we've actually got so many other invasive species that are now jumping, you know, just coming out. Scorpions and spiders, all of these invasive species are just hatching all over the place. So this will happen. It will happen, and there will be more of this. Especially with the flooding, and then we have stagnant water, which provides a place for all of these things to hatch. And and then with the earthquakes, once again, it may seem silly, but what an earthquake does is there are eggs that have been down there for years and years and years and years, and an earthquake will actually crack open those eggs, and it'll cause more insects to hatch. There's also a lot of germs when earthquakes happen because a whole bunch of dust and a whole bunch of eggs and a whole bunch of stuff, crap. Can I say crap? Is that a swear word? A whole bunch of crap is thrown into the air.
We can say crap.
Awesome. Yeah, a whole bunch of crap is thrown into the air that is normally either underground or just on the surface, you know, just on the first foot of surface. So, but all of that gets thrown up and literally thrown up into the air. And then we're affected by it. So we'll have more of these events as we walk into this catastrophe known as climate change as we continue to try to live here, which is probably going to be impossible coming up here. It's getting way too hot, dude. It's getting way too hot all across the world. We're breaking records for that, and people are dying just from heat exposure. So
yeah,
way too
June
hot.
And July, two hottest months ever recorded
ever.
So, yes,
ever.
And August isn't looking much better. It has a good shot at it. So,
well,
we'll see what happens.
I was talking about this too, though, in the past, and I haven't heard any weather forecasters talking about this. In the past, high pressure systems, some, yes, have caused storms, but normally, I'm looking at like a 98 percentile where the high pressure systems that have hit us normally clear out any storms, and they're normally really pretty days, But we currently have this high pressure system that's as big as the United States. And if you look at the cloud cover, it's a monster sitting in the middle of the United States. It's like located in probably Denver right now, at least the eye of that pressure system. And you can see the storms that are going around, and it's being generated from like monsoonal moisture from Mexico and from Cabo. It's actually coming from the Pacific. So some of that might be the El Nino, because we had a little El Nino over the past year from what I recall. So it may be from some of that too, the moisture, which comes from all the way over in Australia, because that's the way our planet actually works. But we're not supposed to normally have storms and thunderstorms and flooding with high pressure systems. High pressure systems normally move those out. And we've also got a number of little tiny low pressure systems, like six of them, all just placed across the United States. And they literally are coming out of nowhere. They're not building up like they used to. So we've got high pressure systems acting different than normal, and we've got low pressure systems that are just popping up. So it's very, to me, it's, and I haven't heard any other weather forecasters talking about this. And I'm like, we need to really pay attention to that, because our weather patterns are no longer patterns. It has shifted to a different point. And, I've said this in the past about, if we have weather like Jupiter, or if we have weather like Venus, or if we have weather like Mars, we're not going to survive here. There's a storm on Jupiter that is a minimum of 350 years old. It's a massive hurricane. Massive. And it's 350 years. And it's still going strong. We saw it like 350 years ago. I don't know who did. Galileo, I think, saw it like 350 years ago. Or Plato. I don't know who saw it. It's only like three. I think it's Galileo, because he was around then, right? I don't know. But it doesn't matter.
I didn't
matter.
Know we had telescopes back then. You could see Jupiter back in Galileo's time.
He was the first dude to really develop, looking at the stars and trying to figure out what
right.
they are. So I wouldn't
doubt it. I just don't
think
we had a magnetic telescope that could quite see to Jupiter.
See the red dot? See the red spot? See the red spot on Jupiter? Yeah, I don't know if we did or not. I don't know if we did or not. He saw some stuff. He saw the rings on Saturn, so he was able to tell that Mars was red, stuff like that. So he had a pretty powerful telescope. But since then, we have developed other telescopes that, can see stuff. And that the red dot on Jupiter is a massive storm. It's a massive hurricane that has been going for a minimum of 350 years. So we can't handle that here on this planet, is my point. And it seems that our weather is changing to that point. When we have systems that aren't supposed to normally cause weather events, they are causing weather events. It's not good.
Not good at all.
And meanwhile,
all right,
we're distracted with what color someone is. I can't be distracted with what color someone is. It doesn't matter. We're all different colors. All of us. I'm Irish, French, Dutch, English, and Cherokee Indian. What color am I actually? I don't know. And I'm mainly white from what I'm, if I'm Irish, French, Dutch, and England, but then I'm Cherokee Indian. So what color am I? I've never seen color. It's always about the individual, just the individual and their merit and their words and their
action.
The
outside is just a shell. The inside is where we're all alike.
This is just what we were born in.
Right.
This is what we inhabit. Our souls.
Exactly. Has nothing to do with anything else.
No.
Unfortunately, it does create social norms, but that's a whole other discussion. Entirely.
I think a lot of it just has to do with not understanding cultures. Everybody's got individual cultures, and we all have to understand those in order to better understand, our brother and sister.
Correct.
So the cultures, you know, look at what good the cultures are doing for the individual in each individual case.
And cultures span your same race too. I mean, there is a different culture in the swamplands of Florida than there is in the Bay Area of San Francisco. Could all be whites, but a totally different culture.
Yep. But it's a totally different culture.
Culture.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to understand it on an individual basis. Everybody comes from someplace else, and we're all actually a combination of a bunch of stuff. At this point, we're such a melting pot. And that's what we are supposed to be designed. That's what our founding fathers wanted us to do. That's the design of this. It actually is a melting pot of so many individuals, and we have to see their skills and we have to see their talents and appreciate them, and along with their cultures. There's some,
right.
Oh my man, there's some foods that come out of different cultures, you know, just within races. Oh, come on. Just that alone. You got to appreciate that.
No, exactly. I mean, when you look at it at a macro level, it really doesn't make any sense to discriminate against anybody coming here when we all have talents to give, and you never know who you're inviting in and who you're turning away, whether it be the next inventor of a cure, could be the next mass murderer. You never know. You don't know what these things
you're letting them.
So it's
right.
Like, you just need to accept everybody and just make a orderly way for things to happen. And people are running from people that are being persecuted. They have to have some kind of a system to get in to help
protection.
Them. I mean, it just
and
makes
some type
sense.
Of protection.
It's common sense is all it is. And I don't know how it's gotten to such a political basis, but all it is pure common sense and doing right with your fellow man, no matter who that man, woman, or child is. So,
and it's hard to preach,
right.
Man. I've been trying, you know, it's really hard to preach that. Coming from you and I both, it's just like, we try. I can hear you getting frustrated too, you know, and it's like, dude, there's just a certain point where, you know, our preaching it just doesn't seem to be enough. And it's like, and getting fed up with behaviors.
Right.
And these behaviors are almost childish. You know, I mean, I don't know, without swearing, I don't know how else to, you know, say it. And I, you know, it's like they haven't grown. These people that are acting this way and haven't grown any as humans.
Right.
And, you know. Yeah, whatever.
All right, let's move on. We got some pop culture stuff to talk about.
We do.
Big news of today. Toni Morrison has passed away at 88 years old.
Yeah.
Lived a long life.
That's sad.
Talented as heck. Speaker of a generation.
Amazing writer.
If you don't know Toni Morrison, she was an African-American poet, novelist. She was the one that coined the phrase of Bill Clinton is our first black president. She actually regretted that down the line, but she did coin that phrase. Had some amazing pieces of work, including Beloved and Song of Solomon, and a lot of great novels and work. So she's being hailed
amazing,
by
amazing artist,
people
amazing writer
all over the country today. I want to read what Oprah Winfrey said. She did a great tribute to her. And I thought it was very touching. This is Oprah Winfrey's tribute to Toni Morrison. It says, verified in the beginning was the word. Toni Morrison took the word and turned it into a song of Solomon, of Sula, Beloved, Mercy, Paradise, Love, and more. She was our conscience, our seer, our truth teller. She is a magician with language who understood the power of words. She used them to roil us, to wake us, to educate us, and to help us grapple with our deepest wounds and try to comprehend them. It is exhilarating and life-enhancing every time I read and share her work. Oprah shared a picture of her first appearance of Toni on The Oprah Winfrey Show. She was an empress supreme among writers. Long may her words reign. That's a very fitting tribute. I like that. and it talks about words that we were talking about earlier, the importance of words.
Yeah, verbiage. Yeah, verbiage is extremely important. Well, it is to me. But, you know, I see and hear constantly humans using incorrect grammar, using and especially I know the English language is extremely difficult anyway, and it's confusing because we have multiple words that are spelled the same way and that mean different things, or they're spelled different and they mean the same thing. It's very strange. Or they mean different things and they're spelled different things, but it's the same word. It's very confusing. It's very to a lot of people, the English
language
is.
It is a tough language to a lot of people.
I think it was designed that way. Yeah, it's really, really important to me. Peter Gabriel said it. He's stretching his mouth to let those big words come right out. That's a lyric from Big Time. And, you know, there's just different artists. And just now, one of the things that, wow, I just went blank on her name. She just passed. We were just talking. Toni? What's her name?
Toni Morrison. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Wow. I can't believe I just blanked on her name. Because in the past, and I don't know if it was her, if it's exactly her quote, but if you're dying to read a book that hasn't been written, then write it. And that's kind of, you know, that's part of what I've taken away as an author, you know, that I don't see things out there that should be said or that have been written.
Right.
And so that's why I'm going and doing it myself. And so that's part of what, you know, what she recommended doing in this world. Like if you think that, you know, these things haven't been done already, then just go and do it. So I'm paraphrasing like crazy. Yeah, I think that was my point. Did I get back around to that?
Yeah, I
don't know
so,
why
yeah.
I went off on. Yeah, okay.
But no, yeah,
so,
words,
yeah, very
words
sad.
Matter. Words can exhilarate and uplift, everything that Oprah said, and Toni Morrison was a voice of her generation and looked up on by so many people of every race, and just a great wordsmith. And words are important. I mean, you've implored people to read more on here. I've done the same. I think if you don't read, I think you're really ripping yourself off of the culture and the landscape of this country. And
the world,
things.
For that matter. I mean, there's, you know,
right.
The world may seem small only because we hear information and get information immediately. But also we can travel pretty fast around this world at this point. So,
right.
You know, you can get to England in 6 hours from New York. So, and less. I mean, there are different, you know, airlines that go faster than that. Private jets go much faster than that. So, you know, it's a small world. And you have to, you know, embrace that. And that's at least what I'm attempting to do in my life, you know, is like understand those cultures that are all around the world. And the verbiage it changes in every single place. So, and different things mean different stuff. So you need to learn those as you go to those places and discover those cultures. And I think that's part of it, too, is a lot of people that are, you know, that lived in the United States never got out of the United States. I don't know how many times I've been in Mexico, and I've been in Mexico by myself, actually, where I'll just drive across the border. I don't know how many times. I think like 10. So, you know, and it's because I love the culture. It's different than the United States, and you know, and nobody down there is speaking any English. It's all Spanish around you, so you're kind of forced to immerse yourself into that. And you know, I just the culture and the food and everything, it's completely different. So
and even if you,
you
don't
know,
read yourself, I think you need to go experience literature, being at going to a reading where someone reads excerpts from their book.
That too.
are going to. I had a great interview today. Before we got on the air today, I had did a pre-tape interview for the Left of Straight show coming up next week. There is a group of actors in New York City that have created a Shakespeare pop-up restaurant where they have a group of actors doing a Midsummer's Night Dream by Shakespeare.
Midsummer Night Dream.
And they're pairing it with food, and they're having different food that ties into the play. And it's just an amazing thing. So you actually get to hear the words of Shakespeare while enjoying it through a dining culinary experience. So, I mean, if you don't want to read yourself, go to experiences like that, or go to book readings, or go to plays of some kind where you're seeing written word acted out. I mean, you need to experience these things. They're just,
there
they help
are very
you grow.
Few,
you know?
There are very few bookstores left across the United States. Every single bookstore, from what I understand, has a reading night. So look into your local bookstore and support your local bookstore, and go and buy a book. You know, usually the books are pretty cheap at bookstores, so, and especially used bookstore. But most bookstores in the United States still have a night where they have readings, and it's either from local authors. Sometimes they have authors from other places come in. Sometimes they have just people reading just different books. So, yeah, just be a part of that, you know,
right,
like you
exactly.
just said.
Exactly. You need to experience that. All right, we're going to finish up. I try to finish up as often as I can if I can find them on a positive note. Two quick positive things. One, pop culture-wise, Pink is one of my favorite singers. She's on
right.
tour right now, and her tour group, her roadies, so to speak, was on a plane
right.
that had to crash land at a Danish airport and burst into flames this morning.
Wow.
Everyone is okay.
Wow.
Thank goodness. But that happened this morning, so that's good news. But the big good news thing I wanted to end on today is there's a story out of, I believe it's Oregon. Let me make sure. Yeah. Okay.
Good news coming out of Oregon.
An Ashland, Oregon man made a desperate call to his recycling company last Thursday to report that someone in his household had inadvertently recycled a shoebox. But
okay.
I guess they didn't look in the shoebox because it was stuffed with $23,000 in cash.
Wow.
So he had just sold a motorhome, had just shoved it there, so he went the next week
really,
to purchase a new one. So he just put it in there. Someone just threw this away thinking that this
wow.
was an old shoebox. You'd think someone would look inside. But anyway, so he
right.
calls the recycling company, and much to the surprise, the shoebox, the recycling center was 200 miles away from his home, but someone found the shoebox, and all the money was in it except for $300. So and it was returned
to the
man. So
the person
that
found the
so.
Shoebox took $300.
Looks like they took a finder's fee, yeah. But still, for $23,000,
he should give him a finder's fee anyway. He'd be like, yeah, whatever, forget the $300, and you know, here's another grand. He should give him a finder's fee anyway, dude. Just for being honest. Now, you find $23,000 on a shoebox, you think you're going to return that? I don't know if anybody would return that.
Out of a recycling dump of all places, it's going to be looked for in there. So, yeah, so that's our good news for today. $23,000 found within 48 hours and returned to the owner. Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to come back tomorrow and every day this week through Friday. We're here at 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern time. You can give us a call, 347-989-0126, and talk for the hour. Speaking of reading, let's go ahead and play out with our buddy Casey Lansdale, Living in the Moment. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Easy to get off track, easy to lose your way. In a world that makes you believe there's no time to waste, that you gotta have it all. Better have it all.
You'll miss out.